ask a continued interest in your prayers, as we always do, but it's because we always need it. We should never take the service of the Lord for granted. This morning, I want to deal more thoroughly with a verse of Scripture that we touched on in our Bible study on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we were in Proverbs chapter 3, and we began with verse 27, which says, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." That's simple enough, isn't it? That's easy to understand. At least the wording of it, there's no deep, dark secrets about what he means for us to do. But one of the verses that we used in reference to that we found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As the Apostle Paul is, by the Spirit of God, is concluding this message to the churches of Galatia. By the way, there were some doctrinal errors there, and that after Paul had preached the gospel and after they had rejoiced in the faith of Christ and had been established in the Word, there were others who came along behind them and tried to teach that, they weren't trying, they were doing it. They had taught them after Paul left that faith wasn't enough, that you had to be circumcised, trying to bring them back under the law. Okay? So lots of things that Paul had taught there in that book, but as he comes down to chapter 6, we have some of the parting words after he had set that error straight. Then he's encouraging them and exhorting them on how they should live their lives on a daily basis. All right, so Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Let me just go ahead and read the verse. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Isn't it neat to be around somebody that loves God freely and they show it? And you can see frequently in their life the love of God and love for other people. Isn't it just a joy to be around somebody like that? Okay, I've got a question for you then. Do you intentionally let others know or let others see Christ in you? Are you intentional about it? You know, it's not that do they ever see it. It's do you purpose for it to be seen in your life? See, for a church, it's not the only factor, but it can be a very significant factor in whether someone would describe that as an active church or a sleepy church. If we're living our lives, I'm not talking about how we conduct ourselves when we show up for church on Sunday morning or Saturday morning. By the way, I appreciate everyone here on a Saturday morning. But we're not talking about how we conduct ourselves when we're among the brethren. We're talking about how we conduct ourselves out there. We enter here to worship, and we depart to serve. And it's not just putting on a Christian hat every now and then and doing something good. It's how we live our life and what are the affections of our heart. Okay? So our verse says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." As we have therefore opportunity. You know what an opportunity is, don't you? Let's spend a second or two here. The word behind this in the original language is karyos. I may not be saying that properly according to the language, but karyos. I'll say it that way. And it's a season. In other words, it's a season in which time gives opportunity for us to do something. You knew that, didn't you? There's other times in Scripture where time is referred to as chronos in the original language, and that's just the sequence of events. You know, as time unfolds, the things that happen in sequence. But opportunities are a season where we have the opportunity to do something. And as Christians, we ought to take advantage of those opportunities, shouldn't we? Not just when it's convenient, not just on Sunday, not just when it's advantageous to make us look like fine, upstanding Christians. You know, I appreciate folks that are willing, and I hope, I don't want to be mean about this with folks that do this on with real sincerity, but over the years, I've had folks ask me, you know, would you like to participate in feeding the poor on Thanksgiving Day? Well, I don't have any problem with that. But what about the other 364 days out of the year? We need to be doing things like that all the time, right? Now, I'm thankful that there's folks that's willing to give of their time and go and participate in things like that, but it's something that ought to be the fabric of our life every day we live, as we have, therefore, opportunity. Now, if we dig into the context of where that's mentioned for us, we find that Paul has just been teaching the lesson of sowing and reaping. And you remember that lesson, don't you? Let's cover that for just a second. Galatians 6, let's back up to verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. What does that mean? Well, let's take the example of a child. The child is told to do something. And the child might tell the parent, I'll do it. So the parent leaves and leaves them alone. And that child just absolutely defies the parent's will. That's mocking. All right? We're not going to do that with God. I mean, you could go through the motions and you could do that, but there's going to be consequences, aren't there? Because the parent may not even know that you didn't do it. But God knows. He knows everything. He knows even the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not just the actions and words. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Maybe that child even thought about, well, I don't want to do that. You know. God's not mocked. All right, so be not deceived. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we can pull something over on God, but no, it's not going to work. All right, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, as he lives his life and as he experiences the opportunities that we have at our hand every day, how are we sowing? What are we doing? All right, he says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You know, if you don't like the harvest, you need to examine what kind of seeds you've been sowing, right? Okay. But he that soweth to the Spirit, as we have opportunities, as we live our life and we do the things that come to our hand every day, he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. It's not me just going to cause you to be born again and have everlasting life, but you're going to enjoy the blessings of this life, the more abundant life, if you will. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And as we're serving the Lord and as we're doing those things which are pleasing unto Him, we can have that more abundant peace and joy and happiness in the things that come to our hand, because we're using them, we're redeeming the time, we're doing the things that are pleasing unto God, we're making good use of the opportunities that we have, and God is blessing. Now, isn't that a far better thing to do than to not use the opportunities in a good way? Sure it is. I mean, it's much better in life to have joy and peace, isn't it? It's much better in life to have the feel like that you've got the smiling approval of the Lord as you've tried and you've done what you could. You know, there's a lot of times that we don't feel like we've done enough, but if we've done what we could, that's all the Lord asks for. And so we can have joy about that. We can have peace in our heart because the Spirit within us knows that we've done what we could, and it's agreeing with the Spirit of God, and there's peace in our heart. When you haven't done what you could or done the wrong thing, there's not that peace, is it? There's strife and contention in there. There's an uneasiness. Okay? So that's the lesson that Paul's been teaching as he leads up to this principle about making good use of opportunities, okay? He says, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Have you ever done something that you felt like was the right thing to do, and you did it the best you could, and it just didn't seem like it turned out to accomplish anything? I think we've all had those kind of experiences. But what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, don't be weary about that. Don't be weary in well-doing. We are to go about doing good. Isn't that what Peter said that Jesus did? He went about doing good. There was no guile in his mouth. All right? He went about doing good. And we're to follow that pattern. All right? Not just when it's convenient. Not when it would be advantageous to us. Not when it might make us look better. But all the time. Preacher, all the time? That should be our habit, shouldn't it? That should be the rule of our life. Whatever opportunities God places before us, let us do good. Let us choose good. Let us enjoy the good. Let us try to be good as best we can and be a good encouragement to others. All right? So as much as we can and as often as we can, and no matter how often we've been doing good, it's the rule for our life to do good as often as we can. All right? Because, listen, each time you fail, you see, every day we have these opportunities, don't we? Opportunities to do good. You may encounter someone that you don't never seen before in your life. You may never see them again. But if there's a way to speak a kind word, if there's a way to do a kind deed, shouldn't we do that? You know, what's that saying about if you meet somebody without a smile, give them one of yours? Doesn't cost you anything. Right? You know, that little bit of encouragement might make a big difference in that person's life that day. Have you ever had someone do an unexpected kindness for you? Wasn't it great? Yeah. Didn't it brighten your day? Maybe it put some wind in your sails. That's the love of God coming out from us, what He's already given to us, and coming out from us and being a blessing to somebody else. So as you have these opportunities, He says, do good. Let me give you three reasons. There's probably 300, but I'll just take time for three. Three reasons, all right, that we should take those opportunities each time we encounter them. Because, well, what I'm after here is if we don't take advantage of these opportunities. Three things, okay? First of all, we miss the opportunity for others to see Christ in us. Hasn't he called us out of darkness? Hasn't he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son? Why? Well, the bottom line is his glory. All right, but does God call us by his grace? Did God send his son to this world to suffer tremendously upon the cross and die for our sins? And then does God send his spirit in our heart to make us known, to make us to know him and to bless us with hearing the gospel and understanding all that he did for us? Does he do that just so that we can continue living our life the way we always have? No, he calls upon us in view of the great grace that's been given to us to honor him, to let others see Christ in us. If we have learned Christ, if we have learned the precepts of the scripture, if we have learned how we can be different from the world, then do it. Do good, okay? As we have opportunities. The first reason is if we miss that opportunity, if we choose not to take that opportunity, we miss the opportunity to show Christ to others. And a direct result of that, number two, is God misses some of the glory that he could have received. How much glory has God missed by our own personal choices of not doing good? You know, sometimes we think about our Savior on the cross and how they drove those nails into his hands and how they drove those nails into his feet. I call them nails, but they were more like spikes, weren't they? You know, it hurts when you put a needle in your arm, doesn't it? They drove spikes in his hands and his feet. But why did he do that? Why did he allow them to do that? Because he loved us. You've heard the expression, it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, it was his love for us. That he was willing to endure all of the pain and the suffering, not only at the hands of men, but the greater part of it was when God the Father withdrew his presence from him and poured out his wrath upon his son. Why? To save us from our stinking sins. They're a stench in his nostrils. He can't look upon sin. He detests it so much. Now, the reason I brought that up is we should think about from time to time, how much of that did we cause with our sins? Well, in one respect, you could say all of it. Because that's what he had to do to satisfy the prophecies, to satisfy the will of God, and to save us from our sins. All of his suffering was because of your sins. Each one of us needs to take that personally and think about it from time to time. All the love and the mercy and the grace that's bestowed upon us in saving us from our sins. Now, in that same vein, what about the opportunities that are presented to us each day to show kindness, to do good, to take the opportunities that come our way each day and glorify God. I gave you two, by the way. If you choose not to, first of all, you miss an opportunity for others to see Christ in you. And it's not for your glory, it's for God's glory, number two. But the third thing is, we miss the opportunity to encourage and perhaps embolden others in their faith. Isn't it easier for you to be willing to be different when you've got some company? When you're by yourself, sometimes it gets tough, doesn't it? But when you've got help, when you've got others around about, when the majority, and I know you don't have to have a majority, the Lord's with you, but what I'm saying is it's a whole lot easier as we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, as our faith is being strengthened, it's a whole lot easier to do those things when there's others around us of the same mind and the same desire. Isn't it a blessing that we've got folks in this world that we know they love God, and we know they're praying to God, we know that they're doing what they can? I'm just so thankful. There's so many. And I'll tell you something, there's a whole lot more that don't believe the doctrines of grace just exactly the way we do that are doing a lot of good things in this world. And so we need to thank God for those who love Him and are trying to serve Him as best they understand. Okay? So all of us need to, as we have opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. I think I said Wednesday night, be careful how you decide who's worthy of your time and your help. We need to be careful, don't we? You know, I started out earlier talking about how that, you know, you may encounter somebody you've never seen before. And you may never see that person again. And if you have an opportunity to do good, you ought to do it. Because the Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that you just might have encountered an angel. Oh, preacher, really? Angels? Yeah. The Bible teaches us we may have entertained, you know, be careful to entertain strangers, right? For some have entertained angels unawares. Yes, I believe God sends angels to do certain things. The Bible's full of it, isn't it? God sending angels to do things for people. And as far as I can tell from reading the scriptures, they don't have a halo around their head. They don't have wings, and they're not flapping around. You know, they look just like us. Okay? Now, there have been times when they appeared, and there was a glory about their appearance, and they did some things that were superhuman. But the point is, be careful how you decide who's worthy of you doing something good for them. Obviously, we need to balance that thought with Jesus' warning not to cast your pearls before swine. There's some that we know ahead of time that will not appreciate what we're trying to do for them. There are those that we know ahead of time that they're just never shown. Now, obviously, that person, the Lord could deal with him later. But I think casting your pearls before swine has a lot to do with where you might do it as much as for whom. All right. So those three things, if we choose not to take those opportunities, and bless your hearts, we miss the opportunity to others see Christ in us. We miss the opportunity to bring more glory to God. We miss the opportunity to encourage and embolden others in their faith. You know, that's a big part of why we should be faithful, why we should be encouragers, because we need one another, don't we? We need the help of those. We need the prayers of those we love. We need the help of those we love. We need to be around those that we love. Those of like precious faith. We need each other. This is sometimes going to be a dark and unfriendly world. We need one another on a regular basis. And so, we're to have a Christian attitude at all times. As we have, therefore, opportunity, he says, let us do good unto all men. Having that Christian attitude, the habit of looking for ways that we can be a blessing to others. You know, as Jesus went about doing good, just think sometimes, or as you're reading, just take notice of what Jesus was doing. Healing, restoring, encouraging. Oh, there were times when he rebuked the Pharisees, but if they'd have listened to him, it would have been good for them too. He went about doing good. We're to be like him, aren't we? So as much as we can, we need to be going about doing good. And it says, unto all men. All right? So as a Christian, our habit, looking for ways to be a help to others and a blessing to them. In other words, another way of putting it is bearing fruit of the Spirit, right? You know, in our opening remarks, we talked about, isn't it neat to be around somebody that frequently and willingly, freely shows God's love to others? It's a blessing. They're bearing fruit of the Spirit because the very first one is love. Okay? And this love, and I'm persuaded this love really encompasses all of them. But he gives us other ideas about how that love is manifested. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all right? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We need all of that, don't we? How are we doing in growing in those things? How are we doing in not only knowing about it and understanding what it is, but putting it to practice in our lives and doing good as we have opportunities? That's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? That's what God's called us to do. Okay, and so if we're faithful to our calling, then bless your hearts, we'll be bearing those fruit and bringing glory to his matchless name. Let us do good unto all men. In the language of Philippians chapter 2, after he tells us in Philippians 2 verse 12, after he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, obviously that's a timely text, isn't it? If you're going to work out your own salvation, then we're talking about that salvation here in time of saving yourselves from the ungodly influences around us and saving yourself from fleshly influences that would lead us astray. So he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, isn't that where we are today? But he says this, don't leave out the rest of this verse now. Among whom? Here's, if we're going about taking opportunities to do good, if we're going about bearing fruit of the Spirit, if we're going about trying to be faithful to our calling, among whom, this is how you're going to be acting before this nation of, Elder Michael Goen says one time, crooks and perverts. Got a lot of that going on in this world, don't we? All right? How will we be acting? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Lights to his glory. Lights showing others what Christ is like. That glorifies God, doesn't it? John 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How's your light been shining this week? Has it been bright? Did it need some energizing? How is it? Of course, it matters to everybody around us because it could be a good influence, maybe not. But most of all, it's whether or not we've brought glory to the name of God. That's first and foremost, isn't it? How's your light been shining this week? How many opportunities have we taken to do good? And has it been to all men? Coming back to, Philippians, he said that ye may be blameless and harmless. In other words, he's called us to holiness. He's called us to be like him. So that when we let our light shine and others see it, there's glory to our Father which is in heaven. Now, we should be doing that unto all men. That is, all manner of men. Okay? Coming back now to Galatians chapter 6. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now the general principle applies to everybody. Do good unto all men. But he says, but especially unto the household of faith. God has given us something special in this world. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I know there are churches dotted all over the countryside, but when the scriptures address this, to ones to whom it's being written, the emphasis is upon the local assembly. Wherever you've cast your lot in to be a part of it, you need to be a part of it. Need to be involved in it. Need to be praying for one another. Need to be doing good for one another. Whatever we can, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, opportunities we have, first and foremost, you know, you want to take care of family, don't you? Scriptures teach us how that, you know, we need to take care of our families, don't we? Provide for them first, okay? If they don't, the church then needs to step in and help. But the obligation rests first and foremost upon the family, all right? Well, not only in taking care, but in doing things, loving one another and serving the Lord, the first and foremost part of our energy and our affection ought to be in the household of faith, where there are those of like precious faith, where there are those who share the same beliefs, those who are looking to the Lord and trusting in him and praying for one another in the household of faith. You know, if that bond is strongest in the household of faith, it'll be more blessed out there. What is it? There's a commentator, Warren Wiersbe, a minister of the gospel, another faith, but he said one time, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. If it's not shining bright at home, it's not going to shine very far, is it? So, especially in the household of faith, every day our prayers ought to be for one another. If we know of a need, we ought to be ministering to one another. Sometimes we fail in that, don't we? But it ought to be that way. We ought to be loving one another. And there's so much more that we can share with one another because we understand the truth of the gospel. We're more in tune with the things of God because of what he's blessed us to see than with some others. But still, the rule is, do good unto all men, but it comes down to especially, not just exclusively. You know, it's so easy to have your little cliques and clans, and it's so easy to be discriminating based on this preference or that preference or whatever. Bless your heart, aren't you glad that God's love is unconditional? Aren't you glad that He reached down to us when we were yet enemies? Do you know we were enemies with God? Let me read you a little bit out of Romans chapter 5. Just very quickly. Time's about gone. But Romans chapter 5, I'll begin in verse 6. This is describing God's love for us. In connection now with how we're to be loving one another, and loving all men, especially the household of faith. But he says in Romans 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength." That doesn't mean we had a little strength. It means we were powerless. Totally depraved. No ability to know or to perceive the things of God. All right? "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Wait a minute, preacher, that said sinners. It didn't say enemies. Well, keep reading. At first he says sinners. Real sinners. Okay? Real sin. All right? "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't that glorious? That he would be willing to die for us. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies," there it is. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Oh, isn't it a blessing? You know, he said, because I live. Not just because he died, he redeemed us by shedding his precious blood, but he arose again. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. In other words, he finished the work. He redeemed us by his precious blood. He arose again. He defeated death. He conquered sin. He got the victory. He arose again. He rose again to show us that he's alive, that he has power over death and sin and the grave. And he's alive forevermore. Isn't that what he says in Revelation? "I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." He's already defeated death. Nothing else is going to kill him. I don't understand that he laid down his life. But those men that crucified him did everything they could to kill him. And there's places in Scripture where it says they killed him. But ultimately, we understand he allowed them to do it. "No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So while we were isn't that wonderful? That even while we were enemies to God, his love was unconditional. He reached down to where we were. He didn't reach halfway and say, "Sinner, if you'll reach the rest of the way, you could be saved." He reached all the way down where we were and saved us. That is the truth of the gospel. And even though the vast majority of Christianity has a different version of it, bless your hearts, it's the truth that God reached down to where we were because we didn't have the desire nor the ability to reach up to him. He saved us. So, even though our Christian duty demands that we show love and good deeds toward all men, we're to especially show it to those who understand the truth of the gospel, the household of faith. Oh, may God help us as we find those opportunities each day, as we live life. You know, life is just full of experiences. Life teaches us an awful lot, doesn't it? And as we go through life, I'm satisfied. Aren't you? I'll ask the question first, I guess. I'll give you the question before you have to answer. Aren't you satisfied that there have been many opportunities for you to do good that you didn't even see? Either you were too busy, or you weren't looking for opportunities. See, all of that can be valid, can't it? We get so busy, we got so many things we got to do. There's a lot of times we don't, and I'm guilty too, we don't look for opportunities to do good. Now bless your hearts, this scripture tells us if we want to honor the Lord, if we want to sow to the Spirit instead of sowing to the flesh, then let's do good. Let's take advantage of the opportunities God gives us each day to do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. May God give us the grace to honor Him each day and do according to the teaching of this verse. May God bless you, is our prayer.